Let us pray. God of hope, who never lets us go, draw near to us in these ancient words. By your Holy Spirit, may we be filled, lifted up, and leveled as you prepare in our hearts the path of your coming. Amen. The first Old Testament reading is from Zephaniah, chapter 3, verses 14 to 20. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgment against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst. A warrior who gives victory, he will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you, so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time. I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown it in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home, at that time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among the peoples of the earth. When I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. And our second Old Testament reading is Isaiah 12, 2 to 6. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say on that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. And the epistle reading for this morning is Philippians 4, 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God.
Our gospel lesson today comes from Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. And this is, we're with John the Baptist on the banks of the Jordan River, and he is preaching repentance. He's telling people to repent, and they're coming to be baptized. And so this is where we pick up. John said to the crowds that came to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I recently read an article that proposed the opposite of joy is not sadness, as many of us would probably imagine, but the opposite of joy is actually longing. The more I thought of that, the more I agreed. Joy and longing are deep emotions that come out of our gut. We feel it deep within our being. Happiness and sadness are things we can experience every day. And they're more surface or more general emotions. We can experience happiness and sadness while watching a Hallmark movie or a football game. Although for some of us, that's a deeper feeling that we won't go into at this moment. But joy, however, is glorious and deep and powerful. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, a reflection of God's Spirit in our lives, along with love and peace. It's a blessing that goes beyond ordinary, everyday feelings. And in our Advent season, it is the light in the darkness that answers the longing of the world for God's presence. The people coming to hear John were longing for something. They needed something in their lives and in their world to change. They were longing for it to be different and longing for themselves to be different. Longing is a deep feeling beyond need, beyond waiting, that steps us into a place where we're yearning for something. Longing is what a grieving person feels when they long for their loved one. It's what we experience when a person living in a war-torn country longs for peace, or when a person living in despair longs for hope, when a person who is cast out longs for belonging. When comfort, peace, and hope finally arrive, longing gives way to joy, so deep it can't be contained. We rejoice and then rejoice again. Joy goes beyond happiness to a place in our souls where the burden of longing has weighed us down. Light comes into the darkness and joy overflows. Recently, I have seen clips of people in Syria who, when the government fell a few days ago, were able once again to be reunited with their families who have been separated by war and fear and incarceration. And they see one another for the first time without terror, and they cling to one another. They are so overwhelmed with joy that they cannot contain the tears. They cannot, some of them, even stand. They are so overwhelmed with joy because that which they longed for has given way and they are able to see their loved ones once again. Have you ever seen parents finally welcome a long-awaited baby and they are overcome and weep? I've recently, I am a social media, I don't want to say that, but But I like to watch the clips that make me feel good on social media. And one of the sweetest things is whenever there is, especially a new young father who has had no clue about babies in his life, and then there sits this person who is just looking at this baby, not knowing how to hold them, and just weeping because he's looking at his child and is overcome. Where this longing for a child is given way to the joy that this little person brings. This is the kind of joy the Messiah will bring to those who are waiting for his arrival. It's the kind of transformation and change he brings to the world. In our gospel lesson, we read that there are many different people coming to hear John's preaching. They are all from different walks of life, but they come seeking something. They have a longing in their hearts. Some of them are very religious people, and some of them are way outside the fold, soldiers and tax collectors. But they're all there longing for change. They're looking for something. They know something is missing in their lives, but they don't know what to do. They knew something needed to change, but they didn't know what or how. They knew something needed to be filled in their lives, but how to fill that void, they just did not know. So they come to John. And John doesn't mess around. He calls them a brood of vipers. Not exactly the welcome we want to give to people when they come to church. We ask our ushers and our greeters to be friendly and open. Imagine what it would happen if Barbara Cadill opened the door every Sunday and said, "Oh, you brood of vipers, come on in." We might get written up in the paper, might be our thing. Who knows what the next, maybe that's the tack we need to try. But this was John saying to them, this is not going to be an easy lesson for you to hear. If you're coming in here all ready to strike at me for what I am going to tell you, if you're going to lash out at me at the answer I'm going to give you, then just stop right there. If you're coming to seek change, though, if you're coming to repent and change directions in your lives, if you're really willing and able and ready to hear what I have to tell you, I'll tell you what you are longing to hear. John knew that what he was going to tell them was not an easy message to hear or to receive. He says, don't come in here like that brood of vipers, but instead come in here with ears ready to hear. The journey from longing to joy begins with people from all walks of life who are willing to break out of their narrow ways of being in order for God to change them. So John says, if you're truly repenting and changing from the way you were, if this is not just an intellectual endeavor, there is action involved. So like those who've accumulated more clothing than they need, give to those who have none. And if you're a tax collector, put aside your greed. If you're a soldier, don't use your power to extort those who are vulnerable. You who long for transformation in your life, the first step is to change. To seek forgiveness for what you have done and change your behavior, not because it is about working your way into God's love, but rather you are asking, what is it that God requires of me? How is it that this world is going to change? And John says the first step is acknowledging that God is going to change you, and it's reflected in the ways you behave in the world. If you want the world to change, then you are going to have to change too. John comes proclaiming to those who will hear that their great longing for difference is about to transform into joy, because there is one who is coming who will show them the way to a new life, who will burn away the chaff and sanctify them, will make them holy and whole. Now, this first century image of chaff and wheat may mean nothing to those of us who have never seen a live stalk of wheat in our lives and who go to the store and choose from 100 different kinds of pre-processed flour. But I'll tell you, wheat is a grain that grows on a stalk with lots of tiny different little wheat berries or kernels, as they're called. And around each kernel of wheat, there is a husk, and we call that chaff. You want the kernels, you don't want the chaff. So people would harvest the dry stalks of grain and put them in a basket, and then the chaff and kernels, they would shake the basket, and the chaff and kernels would kind of rub up against each other, and the chaff would kind of fall away. Sometimes they would kind of flip it, like a pizza. But, you know, they flip it, and the wind even would blow away the chaff because it was so light. But it was a way of separating to get to what you wanted, the fruit, the wheat berry, the kernel, and separating it away from the stuff that needed to be discarded. So John is telling the people, the Messiah is coming, and he will take away the chaff in our lives. The useless parts of our life, that which covers up the fruit and the goodness, and he will leave the purest and truest part. The Messiah's baptism will make us whole and pure like the wheat uncovered by chaff, and we'll blossom and we'll shine, and we will be what we are created to be. Human beings living in relationship with God and with each other, transformed and transforming, reformed and reforming in the image of God and what God wants us to be. And that is a reason for joy, because God comes in and shows us and it fills us with joy instead of longing. I invite you to stop and think for a moment about some of the work that the session has been doing in recent months. We have gathered a few times, and as when we gather together as a session, we talk about what is it that we long for in our church and for our church. And we have all discussed the fact, it was a consensus that what we are longing for, what we have a sense of needing in our church, is for us to be a welcoming congregation. Not just that we will be friendly and give you a bulletin and not call you a viper and give you a place to sit on a Sunday morning, but that is important. That is important to be welcoming in that way. But more than that, to be welcoming to people who are seeking a relationship with God, to make a room in our lives and our hearts for those who come in asking all kinds of questions, for those who are Jesus curious or who have been damaged by the church, who have never darkened the doorway of a church, that we need to find a way to seek them out, welcome them in, to be present for them in a way that perhaps we haven't been before. We have had a longing to reach out in our community and to transform people's lives in some way. And so we decided, we're going to have to stop talking about it at some point and take a step. And so we thought, well, we're all concerned about the homeless folks in our community. So one of the greatest barriers that people can have or challenges is to have clean clothes. So we're putting a washer outside, covered up, and people can come and wash their clothes. It's getting there. We're almost ready to let people know that it's going to be available for them. It's not a big deal to us. It's a washer out there, but it might make a difference to someone and feel like this place cares and we can have an opportunity to meet people that we might not otherwise meet. And then the session said, you know what? If we're wanting to meet people or reach out to people who don't come to a Sunday morning service, we're going to have a seeker-friendly service on Sunday evenings. And we're going to try to have a meal with it. And we're going to do it a little differently. It's going to be very informal and where it's going to be kind of organic. And we're going to see where it takes us. But where the idea is not for it to be for us, but for it to be an opportunity for us to reach out and welcome in. We don't know what the future will bring. We don't know what the end of the journey will look like, but we know that we have come to the river to say, what is it we should do? And the session said, we think we need to do this. It's like we hear the prophet saying, take these steps. And so the session is going to be presenting these in details because we don't have all the details yet because we're still building it. But we've put together a committee to make sure that it happens, and we're thinking about it. And as the next few weeks go along, we will be bringing more and more information so you can see how it will be and how you may pray for us and how you may become involved in these new ministries. There's a longing within all of us as individuals and as a congregation. And so I want you to think about what it is you are longing for. Because I think the session is starting to feel the joy rather than the anxiety of starting something new. And so as we move forward together as a church, what is it in your lives personally and for our congregation that you long for? And that God can meet with joy. What is it that needs to change in your life so that you can endeavor to find the joy? What is it that God would say, leave this behind? That's chaff. And what we want is the kernel. What is it that we need to let go of? What is it that needs to change? What is it that in order to find joy at the end of the longing that you need to reconsider or rethink? And notice, I am saying for you as an individual, as well as I say as for myself as an individual, you don't get to think, oh, Jerry really needs to change this in order for our church to be better. No, you don't get to do that. Sorry, Jerry, you were just there. I saw you. Jerry doesn't need to change a thing. But you don't get to think of it in terms of someone else needs to change. No. What is it that God is transforming in my heart, in my life, so that together we can find the joy in this congregation as God transforms us together in mission and ministry? It will be joy that answers us. Not sadness, not frustration, although with transformation that does come, but it's all for us to meet the joy, knowing that we are doing what God has called us to do. Are we going to be able to answer God's longing for the world and be the joy for others in this season? I think we can, and that brings joy to my heart. And for that, we say, thanks be to God and amen.